So today we're going to be in a passage, or this whole series that we're about to start today, and it'll go from now to the end of May. We're going to be talking about Colossians chapter 3. If you've got a Bible and it's not soaked, it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And here's this passage. It talks about putting on Jesus. And I love the whole chapter of Colossians 3. It talks to us about putting our minds on who Jesus is and what Jesus has for us. It talks about putting to death our old way of life. And then it talks about, just like we put on clothing, we should put on the traits of Jesus. And that's what we're going to focus on in this series, is the traits of Jesus. And so I want to read you this passage, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people. So no matter who else has rejected you, God is choosing you today. He says, I want you to be on this team. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Holy means pure, useful to God, set apart. It says, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When you start to hear this list, you might think back to your last week. I know I can look at it and think there's times where I wasn't compassionate or kind or humble or gentle or patient. That's what we're looking into this week. It says, bear with each other and forgive each other if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as Jesus forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And so today, as we're getting started, I'm always trying to come up with ways to help you guys remember what are we talking about. And the image here that we're given by Paul is putting on clothing to be like Jesus. And so there's about seven items there that God talks about. And when I was thinking about what kind of clothing to use with you guys, obviously I was going to come up here fully clothed. And so, but I did think about, on Easter Sunday, I was wearing a tie, and I got a lot of comments from folks about, like, Jake, you're finally wearing a tie. You know, we never see you in a tie. And it got me thinking about this little thing I just pulled out, of how a tie, compared to all the other clothing I ever wear, there's a lot more, like, focus that goes into a tie. There's thought that goes into it, right? I pay attention to what I'm doing. And when I was a kid, I can remember my dad handing me a sheet of paper kind of about this size. And it was all folded up. It was a copy from a magazine of, like, how to do a tie. You know, my dad did not wear ties very often either. So he's like, here's how to do a tie. You know, and for years I had that folded up sheet of paper whenever I'd go to a dance or go to something where I had to wear a tie. Like, I would get out that folded sheet of paper and figure out how to do it. And have these little steps. And I can still pick, I only know how to tie one type of tie. You know, still the picture's in my head. And the image I wanted to give to you guys with this series is just like I would look at that and try to get myself dressed. This passage that we're going to be talking about, it points us to who, what kind of personality or character traits of Jesus should we put on. So I'm going to ask Jason to come and help me. He's going to read this passage because I don't have enough hands to do all this. I'm going to put on a tie, and a tie has about seven steps. And so Jason's going to read kind of this verses, and when we get to a step, I'm going to try to tie a tie in front of you guys with a wet coat on. We'll see how it works.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, in patience. Bear with each other. Yeah. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Enrique made fun of my Easter tie for being too short, and I've done it again. So I'm just going to leave this on for Enrique. So, there you go. Sorry about that, guys. So, yeah, the tie is not perfect. And I have a feeling this week, as we're trying to put on Christ, we may have this sort of thing happen as well, right?
It's like, that doesn't look exactly like Jesus, but you're trying, you know? And here's the thing. With these traits, when I was thinking about them, all of Colossians really is hyper-praising Jesus. It's all about Jesus is the center, Jesus is the best, Jesus is the ultimate. And so in this series, when we look at each of these different traits, we're going to go to our example. The example for Christians is always Jesus. So this week, the first trait that gets mentioned is compassion. And there's a lot of places you could look at in the Bible or different people in history or even Maywood people you could look at and say they're really compassionate. But I'm going to take us to one of the Gospels, to Matthew, to talk about Jesus' compassion. Because Jesus is the ultimate example. If we want to put on his compassion this week, then we need to pay attention to what kind of compassion did Jesus have. And the passage we're going to be in Matthew 14, it starts, this particular passage, with a death. And it's a death of somebody who's very important, I would say, to Jesus. And to get you guys to have some kind of empathy with where Jesus is at as this Bible story starts, I want you to picture wherever you're at in your stage of life right now. This is a sad question, but who would be the person that if they died today, it would hurt you the most? It would turn your life upside down the most. As you go through different stages of life, sometimes this might be a parent, it might be a spouse, it might be a child. But I mean, this is a hard question to face, but it will help you have some empathy for this passage. Who's the person in your life right now you think, like, man, if that person died, it would put me into this horrible state, right? It'd be more sad for me than anybody else. I'd feel more loss. So I want you to think of that. And it's hard to maybe picture that person. We don't really want to think about that possibility. But my best guess, when we look at the life of Jesus, is that John the Baptist may have been that person for Jesus. Of all the people who knew Jesus, most people didn't understand who Jesus was. Most people didn't understand what Jesus was going to have to go through in life. But John did understand. It seems like better than just about anybody, right from the start of his ministry, who Jesus was. And John walked out somewhat similar life to Jesus, of standing up against a lot of different powerful forces and being rejected ultimately by those forces and being brutally murdered, even though he was innocent. So John, in many ways, has this camaraderie with Jesus more than others. And Jesus gives this huge compliment of there's no one greater born to women than, or born to man than John, from human history prior to that time up till then. So Jesus speaks really highly of him. Well, when John dies, this very brutal death, in Matthew chapter 14 is telling us about it. And it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, starting in verse 13, Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So here's the deal. Jesus hears that this super important person to him has died, and he decides, I need to get away from the crowd. And he just takes his closest friends with him, and they try to get all alone. I'm getting some weird sound going here, Mike. What? Yeah, so we'll do the best we can.
Mike?
Where should I stand, Mike? Where are you at? Okay, Mike's not here. There we go. So, thank you. Okay, so verse 14 says, when Jesus landed, hearing of this, the crowd, in verse 13, hearing of this, the crowds followed Jesus on foot from the towns. So Jesus, at this point, is so popular that even when he tries to get away by a boat, people are like, we'll just walk and try to run around that lake and get to the other side first. So the scenario, if you can picture it, your best friend or the person you care about the most, they've died, and you've done what you can to try to get away from all the people who need you, and those people all show up at your doorstep, how are you going to respond to them, right? Our first item, and the item we're talking about today is compassion, might not be what you're thinking, right? When you're like, today's a day where I get to make it about me, right? My best friend died, person I care about most died, I need some me time. That's what most of us are thinking. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So it's real easy to read that sentence. Jesus had compassion on them. Think like, oh yeah, it's Jesus. Like, of course, he's a great guy. For you this week, something probably way smaller than a person you love dying will probably happen to you. And it'll make you think, I don't have to be nice to that homeless person I just saw. Or I don't have to be nice to my sister-in-law. Or I don't have to be nice to whoever it is that you come across. Because something bad happened in that moment, you think, it's okay for me to just check out. It's okay for me to just make this next little moment about me. But it says Jesus has this type of compassion that when he sees other people in need, it's not just about, well, I'm having a bad day, so I don't have to worry about those people. It says he had compassion on them and he healed them. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. So I want you to pay attention to what the disciples do here, because this is what a lot of us here at church, we try to do the right thing, and we look more like the disciples in the story than like Jesus. So the disciples, normally we think of compassion is, am I going to pay attention to somebody's problems and make sure we can get them fixed, right? And that problems is the word we would use, right? This person has this problem, this person has this problem, this person has this problem. We're going to line up the right solutions to those problems. They're going to have to work pretty hard, but you got a problem, here's your solution, go get it. You know, and that's how a lot of us try to solve stuff for each other. We view other people's stuff as problems, and we think our role as a follower of Jesus is to just make sure there's a solution that that person can chase for their problem. Think about that. This last week, or this coming week probably for most of us, there's going to be a temptation to see other people as simply the carrier of a problem. And a lot of times, just like the disciple, our answer to their problem is to send them somewhere else to be fixed. I do that sort of stuff all the time, and I see it happen all the time. Just, you've got a problem, there's this other person, this other place that can fix it, so go there and do it. Let's see what Jesus does. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. Jesus says this stuff that's just like, it'd be hard to have conversations with Jesus. You're like, there's thousands of people here. We got to get them going so that it doesn't get dark and they can get some food. Jesus' first thing is they don't need to go away. So Jesus has paid more attention to these people. And I think Jesus in his compassion has seen what is the real need of these people. As regular, well-meaning people like the disciples, a lot of times we get it wrong of what is the real need of the people God has put in our lives. It's very easy to look at somebody and think in 2 minutes that you can figure out what their problem is and then give them advice on how to fix it. That's what a lot of us do, myself included. But says Jesus says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. I mean, it looks like tough go to be a follower of Jesus, right? I mean, that's what we all signed up for. And they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. It's like, what if Jesus told you that this week with the next person you tried to send away for help? What if Jesus said, they don't need to go anywhere. They're already with you. You do what they need. And then here's
the thing. A lot of us think like, oh, wow, I better really pull myself up by my bootstraps and solve everything, right, as a follower of Jesus. No. The disciples finally get on board right here when they say, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answer. But at this point now, they're trying to give what they do have to Jesus. And then here's what Jesus says, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I'm going to pause us here for a second. What if the problems of the people you're going to find in your path this week, what if you had the compassion to really pay attention to them? And to have a conversation with Jesus about what you think they need, and Jesus maybe challenges you back with what they really need. And when Jesus gives you some sort of insight of what that person needs, what if you said, well, Jesus, here's what I have to help. Here's the little bit that I have that could help that person. And you just did whatever Jesus told you to do with it. You know? Jesus has done, just in Sunday school, I was hearing miraculous stuff about how God healed Josh Keaton in response to prayers of a lot of people and did things that doctors couldn't explain. God can do amazing miracles. We see amazing stuff happen at Maywood. And really small stuff sometimes has giant impacts on people. But it's the right thing at the right time, right? And the thing for us this week, this goofy tie that I'm wearing, it's about saying at the beginning of your day, Jesus, help me to put on your compassion. Help me to care about other people even when I'm hurting. Help me to actually see them not as a problem to be solved, but as a person that has a real need that Jesus can get involved with. And here's what Jesus does. It says they all ate and were satisfied. Think about that. I've seen a lot of programs trying to help people. I've been a part of a lot of programs trying to help people. And it's been in the problem mentality thing. There's this many people with this many problems, and we're going to solve them with this many resources. And in that sort of a system, typically people get by, but you don't hear a lot about like people are satisfied. It's because Jesus' compassion brings a satisfaction that just like plugging holes doesn't bring. That just being in some sort of like bread line and getting something doesn't bring. Brings some sort of like, I see you, I see what you need. These people that they were going to send them away, they went all that way and went all that time without food because they wanted to be with Jesus. And they got extra time with Jesus. And whether they all got to hear him or not, the thousands of people that were there, they all got to eat something that Jesus had touched, right? They all got to experience like Jesus cared about me and gave this to me. And the followers of Jesus got to be the ones to actually hand that miraculous stuff from Jesus to somebody. So here's my last, well, I got maybe 2 little points left, but one other thing to point out from this story, there's this awesome passage in 1 John that says, when we fully see Jesus, we'll fully be like him. That perfection comes when we perfectly see Jesus and are connected to him in love. Then we'll be perfectly like him. Like that we are transformed when we see Jesus better. So what we saw so far is not all of Jesus. And if you want to transform to be more like Jesus, can I point out just one more thing about Jesus to you from this passage? Because it'd be real easy to go out from here and think like, okay, Jake really made me feel guilty. You know, I'm still wet, but I could, even though I stood in the rain, I still feel like I needed to do more for God after listening to Jake. You know, I got to just have compassion all the time. Compassion, compassion, compassion. I got to try. If you came in today focused on your own stuff, and you saw that Jesus has real compassion, then you're going to
change to be one a little bit more like Jesus. But I can tell you that if all you saw today was I need to try harder to be more compassionate, you're going to run into a problem. And that's that there's a lot of needs just even in this half circle. And if we start going out and trying to give meet needs, you're going to be all dry by about noon on Monday. You know, you're going to be all withered up. So if you remember the beginning of the passage, Jesus had this super hard, sad thing that happened to him. And he wanted to get alone. And when Jesus gets alone in the Gospels, it's not to just like go get a latte and like put his feet in the sand or something, you know. He gets alone to pray. That's the pattern we see all the time. He's getting alone to be with God. So if you noticed, you're like, Jesus paused his like alone trip with God to meet all these needs and have all this compassion. So you might be thinking like, Jesus is a superstar. I got to be the superhuman savior of everybody I meet. Even if I don't have time for God, I got to make it work for everybody else. And we see that. I see some people not make it at Maywood because they're so busy trying to help other people that they don't have any space left for them and God. And what happens is like they burn out. They wither up. But if you read just a little bit further, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And then it goes on, another great story about Jesus and the disciples. But what I just want to point out is Jesus said pause to his time alone with God because of the huge need in front of him. But he didn't forget that he was still dealing with something. And when the time was right, he put up a boundary with people. And he said, okay, disciples, you guys go. Okay, crowd, you guys go. I have to get alone with God. And he went up onto a mountain to pray. This isn't like I hit my knees in the morning, rolled on my bunk, hit my knees, said something real fast, and then I'm running to try to find breakfast. You don't climb a mountain to pray, like, and then later in the night. I mean, he spent some real time with God, right? You can't pour out in compassion if you're not spending real time alone with God. The way I see that play out is when I get alone with God, that's when I realize, like, oh, that thing I said was terrible. I need to go apologize to that person. That's when I realize, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was disrespectful the way I observed somebody else's leadership or the way I treated this person. Or when I see that person who I've just been resenting and frustrated with, when I'm alone with Jesus, I start to understand what are their hurts and how they are a real person, you know? Like my enemies become lovable people when I'm alone with God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you don't know who he is, that's okay, but he's this hero from World War II, this Christian hero, but like he said, you need time with other Christians and you need time all by yourself with God. And that way you can be right in both places. Because if you're all by yourself too much, you'll get into despair and all sorts of weird unhealth. You need other Christians around you. But if you don't ever spend time alone, you can't really be right with other Christians either. Like God gives you compassion for other people when you're by yourself with him. He gives you insight through the Holy Spirit to what other people really need. So don't run around this week trying to fix everybody's problems. Try to have compassion for the people you meet. Spend time alone with God and have compassion for the people that you meet. Final statement for you guys today. When I was in high school, some of you guys, even way past high school, until I was with Chrissy, I did not take very good care of my appearance, like, or my outfits, or, like, had no style whatsoever. So when I was in high school, I would just get ready as fast as I could in the morning to try to sleep longer, and I wouldn't really pay attention to what I was wearing. And so halfway through the day, I'd be bored in class, and I would play this game with myself sometimes of I'm bored, I'm watching the teacher. I would play this game of, like, I wonder if I can guess what shirt I'm wearing. And I would think on it for 5 or 10 minutes because I'm bored in class. I got nothing to do. And sometimes I would look down and I'd be expecting this like green shirt from this like band I liked, and I look down and I've got this blue royal shirt on. It'd be like this out of body, like I was convinced, like, ah, I think it's the green shirt today, and then it's not. You know, this is like fourth hour of class or something, like, but I didn't pay much attention to what I was wearing, for better or for worse. Here's the thing, even in high school, which I didn't wear ties very often, but I think my whole life, there's never been a time where I've had a tie on and I couldn't tell you what tie I had on.
Oh, wow.
And that's because I never put on a tie without effort. I never put on a tie without thinking about it, right? You're not going to have compassion like Jesus has unless you put in some effort in the morning. Yeah. Like, you're not just going to be like, whoa, it just happened. You know, like, just happened later in the day. Like, I don't know how that got there. Like, you're going to have to choose, Jesus, help me put you on. Help me have your compassion as I go through this day. And you're going to mess up. I mess up. But make that effort choice to say, Jesus, I want to be clothed with you today. I want to wear you. I want the people to see you before they even see me. So I want to close us out today. We normally have like tents set up and we do a prayer thing. And it's a little chaotic today with the rain. So here's what we're going to do. Is you've got some folks around you. If you're in a car, maybe you don't. But here's what we're going to do. I want you to pick out somebody close to you. Somebody maybe you could reach out and touch. And you don't have to tell them you're going to pray for them. But I'm going to lead us in a prayer for somebody near you, okay? So you're going to be praying. Rather than praying for yourself, you're going to be praying for that person close to you, okay? So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this other person that's here at church with me today. Jesus, I thank you that you've chosen them. I thank you that they are holy and dearly loved. And I pray this week, every time they try to put on compassion, I pray your Holy Spirit would fill them with your compassion. Jesus, help me to see you on this other person. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.